Yeah. Welcome to the program. Chalk just hit me with, and I quote, "Try not to bleed out in there." Tell you what, man. You know you got a problem if you can't put on your watch without slicing yourself.
To the blood bank.
I think I'm all right. I'm not going to bleed out, but I am bleeding. What's up? Welcome to the program. Alvin, how about one more? You see this watch?
That watch cost me.
That watch cost me not that much money at all. It's an Apple Watch. It's sharp. And sharp in all the wrong ways, man. I wish we were streaming right now on X because you could see me bleeding out. Hey, Chalk, appreciate the empathy. Try not to bleed out in there, old man. All right, telephone number is toll-free. I got such a good show for you. Javi, one more. Decca, yeah. The only problem with me bleeding is I've got this gorgeous white desk. And there are some things that once the stain sets in, you can't get out. Blood, wine, coffee, blood. Anyway, we've done like 15 yas. How about one more, Javi? Yeah, I know, clones. The blood is standing out off my white desk like the blood did off the white Bronco. It's okay now to do it. He's dead. Okay, let me tell you about the program because I'm fired up for the program. A Friday show. Make sure you finish strong.
Make sure that he remembers what it...
Alvy's feeling it, obviously. All right, let me get you started off. Telephone number is toll-free. Use it. 1-800-636-8686. I've got a very good idea what it is you want to talk about. I'm not going to tell you what you want to hear. I'm not going to give you what you want. I know I can't stop you from doing what you're going to do, but I am not going to give you what you want. Or maybe I will. Maybe I will. Let's see how it plays out. In the meantime, if you want something from me, do something for the jungle. Hit me up, 1-800-636-8686. All right, also on top of that, you can follow me on the X platform at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. We've got some really good things. Yeah, I know, James Kelly. I know what they want. I know what you want. I know what they want. Kelly is lobbying hard for you degenerates. You know why? He is you. James Kelly or the manager. I have more responsible things to do, namely at 9:40.
No manager there.
She are the manager.
James Kelly are the manager. You should be, James Kelly. You ought to be a manager at BK or Arby's. Definitely not In-N-Out, dude. You can't handle that. I've worked there. I know you can't handle that. You could hang, dude. I could barely hang there, so I know you can't.
I love In-N-Out.
All right, so anyway... An absolute icon and legend of the NFL, society on the whole, and this here jungle. Nick Caserio is back, 9:40. Has Nick had much of an offseason? Has he done any work in recent months? Legend, coming up at 9:40. And then in hour number two, the Pacers getting ready for the NBA playoffs. Big man Miles Turner joins us. He's a big reason why they avoided the playing game. Got some rest, got some recovery. Miles Turner at 10:40. Top of hour number three, the aforementioned head, James Kelly. Big head bets at 11 o'clock, straight up. Alvy's week that was. The ATP coming up in hour number three. Lots to get to. Telephone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. Once again, get yourself to the X platform. Our launch is coming soon. We're working on it. We are staffing up. We are building it. I have not forgotten about it or you. Make sure you're ready for it. It's coming. It is coming. All right, first things first, where to start? Clones, I know where you want me to start. I know how badly you want me to start there. You know what? Today is the day, clones, that I give you what you want. Yeah, right. No, we're going to start instead with the Lakers. Ah! Do you remember when the Lakers wanted and demanded all that smoke? Remember when AD said, quote, "We can't wait," end of quote, to get the Nuggets back for all the talking they did after they swept the Lake Show out the Western Conference Finals? Do you remember that? I do. I think everybody does, except for the Lakers. They don't seem to remember any of that. I mean, hell, it was only 3 days ago that Darvin Ham fired off the coolest line that he has ever dropped as the Lakers head coach.
"We with all the smoke and we ain't ducking no fades."
They all seem to agree with him too, right? Didn't they? They all seem to agree with him. And I'll say it, that's a great line for the Ham. That's his best line since arriving in L.A. "We want all the smoke and we ain't ducking no fades." Great line. Got to hand it to the Ham. Pretty straightforward, too. They want the Nuggets. They want all the smoke. They ain't ducking no fades. They want all that smoke from the defending champs. Good line, dude. One problem, Ham. Maybe you should have checked with LaCap before you went with that. Because I'm not sure you and LaCap are on the same page. I'm not sure you and LaCap are ever on the same page about anything at all. But you really seem disconnected on this one, because while the Ham is out here saying he wants all the smoke, LeBron is out here basically saying, "What smoke? There is no smoke." Here's LaCap at Laker practice yesterday acting like the Nuggets are just another team and it's just another series and we're the ones making too big of a deal of the recent history between these teams. Yeah, LaCap, sure we are not.
"I think you put a little bit too much more emphasis on it. This is our first round matchup and we look forward to the postseason. But I haven't been like looking forward to the rematch. The game is played, obviously played, and this is the matchup, so we look forward to that challenge."
I mean, come on. You wonder why you're glossed LaCap and LaBag.
"People probably think I'm lying about that too, huh?"
Yes, 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 they do. Speaking for the people, they do. We all do. Did you just say we're the ones putting too much emphasis on the rematch? Really? So we're just supposed to ignore that these dudes swept your asses out of the playoffs last year and then beat you three more times during the regular season and have now beaten you eight straight times overall? That's not relevant. That's not relevant information. We're supposed to ignore all of that. I mean, that is classic LaCap. Classic LaBag. LaCap. LaCap's like, "All you guys are overemphasizing the fact that they keep kicking our ass. Stop talking about it already. For real, though, stop. It doesn't matter. None of that matters. We're not even thinking about it." No, LeBron. We're not going to stop talking about it. We're going to keep talking about it, at least until you actually beat them. Maybe win a game against these dudes before you try to tell us that we're putting too much emphasis on the fact that you can't beat these dudes, even once. Until you actually do beat these dudes, it is actually really relevant information. This is why everybody's talking about it. We're not overemphasizing it. You can't overemphasize the fact that you guys are 0 for your last 8 against the team that you're about to match up with. I mean, what are you even talking about? But even that doesn't bother me as much as LaCap's claim that he has not been looking forward to the rematch or thinking about the rematch or talking about the rematch. Again, this is why you're known as LaCap. Because I seem to remember AD saying that he was looking forward to getting these dudes back before the season even started. I remember that. Not only do I remember him saying that, I remember him looping you into it as well, LaCap. So you might want to get with your dude street clothes on this and make sure you guys have the same story and you're on the same page, because right now you don't.
"It was just a lot of like the talking and all the Lakers. That, like, it was just so much of that going on. Like, all right, we get it, y'all won. But, you know, I think, you know, me and Bron had some conversations like, we can't wait."
me and Braun had some conversations. Like, we can't wait.
You know, me and Braun had some conversations like, we can't wait.
So, LeCap, what changed? What changed?
Can't wait.
What has happened in the interim? What happened to the conversations that you and AD were having? What happened to, quote, we can't wait? Emphasis on we. He said it. We can't wait.
We can't wait.
So what's happened between then and now? Well, I can tell you. You know what's happened since AD dropped that quote? Denver has kicked your ass three more times. So wouldn't you think a competitor like LeCap would be more fired up than ever to get in with these dudes? Not acting like we're the ones creating this false narrative. We're the ones putting too much emphasis on it. I already thought that AD's version of I Can't Wait was somehow even more lame than the Dino in Vegas version.
I can't wait.
That version? Like, how could anything be more lame than this?
We can't wait.
And yet it is. And yet there it is. How can anything be more lame than this? And yet there it is.
We can't wait.
So, LeCap somehow made it even lamer. It was such a goofy statement at the time. And it's even goofier when you back off it right before you finally get a chance to back it up. That's so whack.
That's whack.
And so is LeCap saying, quote, it shouldn't be personal at all. End of quote. Are you kidding me? It should not be personal at all. They swept you last postseason. They've beaten you eight straight times, but it shouldn't be personal? Since when? If by it shouldn't be personal, you mean it should be the most personal thing ever, then I would agree, LeWack. But you want to talk about a reverse MJ. A reverse MJ. Dude, it better be personal. Y'all better want these guys. Hey, by the way, they own you, and they think it's personal. So since you're the one getting owned, how can you not think it's personal? You all better want revenge. You all better take eight curb stompings in a row personally. You all better take getting swept out of the Western Finals personally. You all better bring some edge to this series because that's the only chance you have in this series. You better bring some edge. You better bring it right away. You better jump these dudes and mug them in game one tomorrow night and hope that they don't get into their rhythm after being a week off. You better bring that edge, and on top of that, you better bring the good D-Lo. The good D-Lo. That, of course, is a key in this series. D'Angelo Russell. I mean, ask anybody in Car Flag Nation. They know. Of course they know. They know that street clothes needs to stay aggressive and stay out of his street clothes and out of foul trouble. But what they really know is they need a locked-in D-Lo, the one they had on Tuesday against the Pels. Which is why he's the one dude who can get away with saying nothing changes for him in his preparation for the defending champs. Because he really shouldn't change anything from Tuesday night. Because Tuesday night, the dude was straight cash. I'll say that. So I'm actually okay with D-Lo saying this.
The same as it was against New Orleans. Same shit. There's no extra preparation for me. I've been preparing all year for whoever we would see in the postseason. Obviously, y'all make it a Denver D-Lo thing, but I'm ready to compete.
What's with these dudes? Why is it us that are creating these false narratives? Why is it our fault that you keep getting your ass kicked? What do you mean y'all make it a Denver D-Lo thing or D-Lo thing? What is this? You got LeBron talking about how it's not really a thing. Y'all are overemphasizing it. Now we have D'Angelo Russell saying, man, y'all are making this a Denver D-Lo thing. But I'm ready to compete. My dude, you better be ready to compete. Again, we're not making it a Denver D-Lo thing. You made it a Denver D'Lo thing. When you played like total ass against these dudes in the playoffs last year, my man, we aren't the ones that averaged 6 points on 32% shooting and 13% from the three in that sweep. We didn't do that. You did that. We're not the ones that lost our starting spot in the lineup for game four. That was you. That's why there is a Denver D'Lo thing. We didn't make that up. It's a real thing that exists because of you and what they did to you. How is this our fault? We are not overemphasizing anything. We are not making up anything. I'll tell you what, man. If it happens again, the Lakers are absolutely cooked. They're toast. They're toast anyway.
The quarterback is toast.
But if D'Lo shoots 13% from beyond the arc and winds up getting benched again, book it right now. This series will be another beatdown. Oh, excuse me. My bad, LeCap. I'm not supposed to mention the other beatdown. My bad. I'm not supposed to put emphasis on the last 8 games against these dudes. I mean, seriously, him saying y'all are overemphasizing this when he and AD said they can't wait to play them, even for LeCap, that is a terrible take. Terrible take. Dude, it better be about the past, or else that 8 in a row is about to become 12 in a row. And nobody is overemphasizing anything. We are just pointing out the glaring fact that you have not been able to beat these guys. And we're going to keep pointing it out until, well, you know, you beat these guys. I'll tell you what, I'll give you my prediction right now.
What's your prediction?
I'll give it to you right now. Nuggets in 5. And yes, you'll win 1. I'll give you that. But it's not going to be because LeBron went GOAT. It's not going to be because AD was unconscious. It's not going to be because D'Lo went laser. The reason the Lakers will avoid the embarrassment of getting swept again and making it 12 in a row will be because of the legend, Gabe Vincent. Mark it down. The legend had been busted up, but he finally made it back. And he's once again going legendary gaucho. Let me tell you something right now. The Lake Show goes as Gabe Vincent goes. And Gabe is not going to let them get swept. He's got way too much pride. I see you, legend. Proud of you, gaucho fam. Even if the Nuggets are about to beat you down. No shame in that, fam. It's bigger than you. But I see you, player. Go do what you do. Rep the gaucho nation. On the national stage, dominate on the big stage like you always do. And by dominate, I mean prevent your team from getting swept. These dudes.
We can't wait.
Why is it always our fault? We're not the ones who lost 8 in a row to you. Or to the Nuggets. We're not the ones that shot 13% from beyond the arc. We're not making these things up. This is why folks have so much trouble getting with y'all. Because of that lack of ownership and accountability. Very, very baggish. 1-800-636-8686. Sorry, not sorry, clones. I did not give you what you want. Did you really think that I was going to start this legacy, nationally syndicated program with some weird football executive ripping a fart? Did you really think that I was going to do that? Sorry, not sorry at all. All right, some other things I want to get to. The legendary Joe Noah clapback on the city of Cleveland will not die. There's actually an update, and it's hilarious. It really is. That's something else I will talk about. Got a big head bet segment coming up, but not until hour number 3. We're talking playing games, and I know the head likes to get down with the playoffs overall and some futures. So I'll look forward to that. Hey, get on the phone. 1-800-636-8686. The legend and icon Nick Caserio joins me at 9:40. Now that's something I can't wait for. 20 minutes out. Miles Turner.
I can't wait.
Pacer big man, 10:40. Albie, do you have a prize pick? You can do it in hour three if you want. Prize picks. Remember yesterday when Albie was like, it's Mike's pick. Really? Mike who? I love he just throws him out there. It's Mike. It's Mike's pick. Mike who, dude? But if I'm not mistaken, I think Mike's pick hit. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million active members. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and then watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. Get in on the playoff action, win up to 100 times your money on Prize Picks as you and the world's best players take the game to a new level during basketball's postseason. The playoffs get underway on April 20th. The play-in round already very much underway. Prize Picks also is offering weekly promotions and special offers for the biggest moments in sports. Prize Picks now is offering Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account this basketball season. I love Prize Picks. You will too. Mike will have a pick later on today for you. So download the app right now. Use the code ROME, R-O-M-E, for a first deposit match of up to $100. Code ROME on Prize Picks for a deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It is that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
So if you guessed August Burns Red, you're right. Alvin DeLauro. Clones, if I've said it once, I've said it 1 million times.
Correct.
I know what you're thinking before you think it. And it's all playing out right now on X. I'll get there in a minute. So how important is it to feel good? I would say really important. If you feel good, that impacts the way you live. The way your days go, the way your life goes. You know who understands that better than anybody I know? Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a daily supplement that helps your body fight back against occasional minor pain. Thing I like best about it, 100% drug-free. Relief Factor was developed by doctors searching for a better alternative for relieving pain. Neck pain, back pain, joint or muscle pain. Relief Factor can help you feel better. Relief Factor does not just mask pain for a short time. It helps to reduce or even eliminate it. Relief Factor helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. That is absolutely a great, great line. It's true. It helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. I know this because Relief Factor, before we started, sent me the product. They said, do you want to try it? I said, absolutely. And I've been taking it every single day since, and I do feel the difference. In fact, over 1 million people have now tried Relief Factor, so why don't you give it a try for yourself? Visit ReliefFactor.com or call 1-800-4-RELIEF and save on your first order. That's 1-800-4-RELIEF. These products and statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease or condition. Relief Factor. So I've got Nick Caserio coming up in a few moments. Very excited about that. But going back to what I said, I know what you're thinking before you think it. Let's face it, clones. You're not that hard to figure out. As an example, at 143C1, quote, that Trent Baalke fart was first segment worthy. Right, Carl, I know you think it was. I know you think it was, Carl. In fact, Carl, you know what I think? I think that you think, no way, Carl, I think you all think this. I think that you all think that not only was it first segment worthy, you think that it was first hour worthy. I think that you think that I should move Nick Caserio into hour number two so we could spend the entire first hour on some dude ripping ass. Better yet, I know what you think. You think that not only was that first segment worthy, you think that not only was that first hour worthy, you know what you think, Carl? The same as many like you. You think that I should just push Nick and Miles Turner and even the Big Head to Monday and spend 3 hours on that. That's what I think you think. That's what I know you think. And you'd be wrong, Carl. At Fabulous. Fabulous. Quote, I can't wait. I can't wait for the real lead. I can't wait.
Hardly wait.
You just heard the real lead.
I can't
it's
wait.
It's the Lakers acting like it's not personal hardly and it doesn't matter and it's just another first round matchup. That was the real lead.
For the smack up.
And then a lot of you are getting a kick out of me bleeding on my white desk. Yeah, I got that, Avi. Thanks.
I can't.
At Wooden Laconic, quote, careful, Jim. Once the blood sets in, it is nearly impossible to get out. Signed, Ray Lewis's mysteriously disappearing white suit. Sam in Grand Rapids is in. He writes, high-pitched voice. Can you hear me, Van Smack? Remember when you were on CBS Sports Radio?
Can you hear me, Juice?
Yes, did you kill Ritt?
Yeah, I was. Remember when you played
if
for
the
49ers?
Bloody desk
yeah.
fits, you must
yeah,
have killed
kill
Ritt. I did not kill.
What?
Did I what? Did I what? Did I kill
freaking
Ritt?
Freaking ridiculous, right?
No, I did not kill Ritt. Ritt's still alive. Ritt is still with us. And it's now the Infinity Sports Network. 1-800-636-8686. When we come back, the icon, Nick Caserio. Houston Texans GM joins us. What an absolutely insane offseason he's had and they have had. Straight up, legit Super Bowl contenders right now. The window is wide open for the Texans. First up, though, here is your bottom of the hour sports update. Here's a pro. Here's Andrew Bogish.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
No joke. I cannot get to this soon enough. We are joined right now by a legend of the National Football League, a legend of this here jungle, a legend in life. That's his main responsibility, being an icon. His side hustle involves him being the executive vice president and general manager of the Houston Texans. He previously spent 20 years with the New England Patriots, 18 of those years in player personnel. He's got 6 Super Bowl rings if you need him. Last year, the Texans won 10 games in the regular season. They won the AFC South. They beat the Browns in the wild card game. Then Baltimore got him in the divisional round. Of course, I'm talking about Nick Caserio. Nick, my brother, what's good?
Romy, always good to be with you. The clones, the XR4TI. Just trying to get a little jungle caramel here before the draft, but appreciate you having us.
My man, I'm not sure you need any of that caramel, but it's here. We'll get it for you. Hey, listen, I love whenever you and I can touch base, but especially right before the draft when I know you're grinding it out. So, Nick, first things first, bring me up to date. How have things been with you since our legendary sit-down for the pod the week of the Super Bowl, and do you have anything in particular for the clones or the crew before we talk about that draft?
Yeah, it's probably been all downhill since then. That was probably the peak of the off season was our visit in Vegas. But in all seriousness, really enjoyed that opportunity to spend time with you. Enjoyed that discussion. The off season has been good. Aside from football, just trying to make some notes. I have a couple thoughts on the smack off. We can maybe hit that at the end of the call, but in all seriousness, the off season has been good. We're making some progress. We're kind of finishing off some of the draft visits and some of the draft prep, but overall, hopefully we're moving in the right direction. So I think my second job is football, with the primary focus being on the clones and whatever contributions. I'm sorry I missed the beef segment yesterday. I was probably a day late on that, but I'm glad we're here today.
Nick Caserio, it's great to have you here today. The beef segment actually was great yesterday, one of the all-timers. Hey, listen, Nick, I'm not sure how much you're willing to divulge in terms of the trade for Stephon Diggs, but let me take a shot. Did you know that he was available, or maybe did you identify him as a player that you knew could help you and make it your mission to get him? In other words, how did that deal go down?
Yeah, no, I think we've shown that we're pretty open-minded relative to how we function, and we've always just tried to not necessarily seek out opportunities, but just be cognizant of what opportunities may exist. During the off-season, you talk to different clubs, you talk to different folks, you talk with different people. You're never really sure what's going to come to fruition and what is not. You know, during the free agency period, that there are certain players who you know are available relative to their contract expiring. So you obviously can do a lot of work on those folks. As far as players that are under contract on other clubs, whether or not they're available in a trade or not, I would say for the most part, most teams aren't offering up players, so they're not shopping players. I mean, ourselves included, like, we don't certainly operate that way. But I think teams have shown the propensity or willingness to at least listen. And our job is to look at opportunities and look at situations. And if there's a player, the worst thing that can happen is if you ask about a player, you bring up a player, they tell you no, which is fine. Then you move on to the next, opportunity that might present itself. So I would say it's specific to that situation. It wasn't something that we necessarily had on the radar. And I would say it wasn't necessarily something I think Buffalo was necessarily shopping, but just through calls and dialogue, and at some point we felt there was an opportunity for us. So I have a lot of respect for the way Brandon and the Bills operate, and that we were able to come to an agreement when we did there the first week in April, whenever it was. So, Steph's a good player. He's been a good player here for a number of years. Hopefully he can help our team in some capacity. But there's always a lot of moving parts when you're acquiring players via trade. I think if you look around the league, it just seems like there's a little bit more openness. Teams are more open-minded. And in the end, every team has to do what they feel is in their best interest. And it takes two to tango. And in the end, we were able to work out an agreement with Steph and get him on the team.
Nick Caserio joining us. Nick, one more thought about that. When you met with the local media yesterday in Houston, you pushed back hard on this notion of Diggs being a, quote, diva, based on reports of how he handled himself in certain situations in Minnesota and Buffalo. Why did that particular question and that term kind of trigger you the way it did?
Yeah, I think what happens is sometimes, whether it's where teams are in the off season and what that projects during the season, or if a player is labeled a certain way, quite frankly, it's probably not fair to assign any labels to any player. And the reality is, like, if you really don't know the individual or know that player, quite frankly, you just can't go off of conjecture. It's not fair to that individual. So everybody is entitled to their opinion, and we certainly respect that. I think how we've operated here in Houston is we do our research. We try to identify the right players for our building. And the reality is we judge them based on how they act and what they do when they're here in our building and then when they're around our team, and not necessarily worried about what somebody said about what happened somewhere else. So, again, I think just athletes in general, you just have to be fair about just taking information and then just making assumptions or making statements when, quite frankly, you probably really don't have a real grasp of the truth. So, again, however that was interpreted, however that came off, so maybe they caught me on a bad day. But overall, we're happy that Steph is here, and I think it's just important for – we're not going to judge. That's not our job. Our job is to run the football team and then just give them the opportunity to be themselves when they're here, and support them and provide them the resources that they need to be successful.
Dude, I don't think you had a bad day at all. I thought that was an extremely responsible response to that question or that issue. I don't think that's a bad day in any sense. We're talking to Nick Caserio. Nick, what about, you talk about you want to get a guy in a building and you want to make sure that when he's in that building, it feels right, the fit's right. What about Joe Mixon? I know what he can do for your offense. He's gained over 1,000 yards each of the last 2 years. What did it feel like to have him in the building, and what did you like about adding him to your offense?
Yeah, no, Joe's been great. He's actually been here for the start of the offseason program. We kicked off the other day, so we have a number of players that are here. But Joe's been a productive player, versatile. He's been very durable, kind of knock on wood. He's been available, which I think is an important quality as any player. So that was the situation, how that one kind of came to fruition. I've been asked about this a couple times, but not too dissimilar, just from a logistical standpoint. When we acquired Jason McCourty in New England in 2016 or whatever that was, he was set to be released. But before it kind of hit the waiver wire, we kind of jumped in and we were willing to give up compensation and trade for the player to acquire his services to secure him. I think sometimes when a player hits the market, there's going to be competition. So we, in that situation specific to Joe, we were just trying to stay ahead of it. We liked the player. We did homework on the player, and we felt that it made sense. So we tried to take advantage of that opportunity to get him here and get him in a building and add a player that we think can help our football team. So lost Devin in free agency to the Giants, who had a great season for us last year. Motor did. So that was a position we were evaluating, whether it was in free agency or in the draft. So there was an opportunity to add a good player that we thought fit what we do systematically. So that's kind of how that one came together, I'd say, fairly quickly over the span of probably less than 24 hours from the time he was set to be released to the time that we acquired him. So this is where just being open-minded, being adaptable, being flexible, just having a candid discussion with the team. And if there's an agreement on both sides, then you know, trade comes to fruition. And so we're glad that Joe's here, add him to the group. DP's coming back, and so another young player. So it's probably a position throughout the course of the spring here. You know, we could look to add. You need two or three backs here in the league that you're probably going to take to the game. So, Joe's been a good player. He's been, was good in Cincinnati, provided a lot of leadership, a lot of production. So we'll see if he can bring some of those qualities to our team as well.
Nick Caserio joining us. Nick, you mentioned the Pats. I want to ask you something really quickly. When you and I spoke on the pod in February, we talked at length about Bill Belichick. I've got to think the entire league is having a field day with the goss and the drama involving Bill and Bob Kraft. I'm not looking for clicks here, Nick, and you're too smart to give it to me anyway, but I'm just really curious about one thing. I'm curious about where you come out. If that ESPN report is accurate, and if Bob Kraft told Arthur Blank that Bill was, quote, very, very, very arrogant and didn't trust him, did he in fact do Bill dirty? Did he owe Bill more than that, given that he won that owner 6 rings? Or did the owner owe it to his peer to answer a question honestly and speak his truth, if that was his truth?
Yeah, no, Jim, I understand the question. Quite frankly, I actually haven't read the article that you've referred to. I would just say, very appreciative of the time that I had in New England, the opportunities that were presented to me, my relationship with ownership and Bill. I mean, Bill's a big part of why I'm here today here in Houston, for what he taught me. So, again, my focus is on the Texans. So I respect the question, but, I've been away from the building for 3-4 years now, so not really, sure of the intimate details of what goes on a day-to-day basis. So, I'm just thankful for my time that I was there and respectful of the relationship that I have with the parties that are there. And I'd say the ownership, you were talking about one of the better ownership groups in the league and sport. And, been on record, I've said this multiple times, my feelings of Bill about how I feel about him as a coach and what he's meant to the game of football and what he's meant to me personally. So, again, I don't really comment on something that I'm not familiar with. So the article that you refer to, I'm not familiar with it at this time.
Nick, I respect that you respect the question and that you can't answer the question. I respect that. Mutual respect. We respect all the way around. I get it.
We're having a respect-a-thon, Romy. So
we are having a respect-a-thon, Nick. We could not respect each other more. I've never respected a guy so much for not answering a question as I do you right now. You're the best. The respect off. Never mind the smack off. We're having a respect off right now, my man, and you're winning. You're winning the respect off. All right, so
maybe we can have another program separate from the smack off and maybe get some entries into the respect-a-thon. So we'll have to come up with a list for that program. grand.
Yeah, so exactly.
It won't be as exciting as a smack off, that's for sure.
Well, no, and then you got to look pretty hard to get the clones to be a part of. Like, who would qualify for a respect off when we're talking about clones?
Well, that's a short list of clones. There might be some other athletes that, you know, maybe Casey, the mayor, maybe E. Wedge, you know, I know, or Jungle Legend. So we could probably come up with a decent list outside of the clones.
There it is. He is a legend of the NFL, a legend of the jungle, a legend of life, and the draft is coming up. He's coming in to get a little of that jungle caramel. Nick, it's going to be really different this time around, obviously, without the first and third pick overall and waiting for number 42, but I know you got a plan. Listen, Nick, great to get caught up. Really appreciate it. You had an amazing offseason, and it's always good to have you on the show, brother. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jerome. Always appreciate the invitation and enjoy visiting. So enjoy the rest of the day, and we'll talk smack off at a later point.
You know it. You know it. I only could not get into it right now because we're up against a hard out, Nick, but you know my clock. You know my clock. We'll get it next time. Nick Caserio. I love that Nick is focused on the draft, the NFL draft, but also on the jungle smack off. My man's got bandwidth. Lots of bandwidth. He's very, very rangy. Nick Caserio. All right, when we come back, what an offseason he had. Didn't even get into the fact that he also added Danielle Hunter. So took care of that side of the ball, too. They are straight up a legit Super Bowl threat right now. Hour number two is coming up next. Big Head Betts in the third hour. Stay tuned.